Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart Scott, it's opening day, baby. Sun is shining in the Bronx.
It's cold as hell.
Yeah, it's a little
out here. Start these teams on the West Coast, man.
It is
chilly. Like, come on, man. Like, how long is it gonna take you to get warmed up? I mean, warming up in your uniform with a jacket on, with a hoodie on.
It's part of it, is it not?
Man, it is cold as hell. I didn't know. I saw the sun.
39 degrees.
Feels like 29.
Yeah, it'll be 41 at first pitch. So, you know. I mean, if you're walking into the stadium, you know what I'm talking about. If you're driving up to the stadium, whatever you're doing, listening to the show, here's the first thing. First things foremost, whether you're at the stadium or you're home or you're waiting to, you know, listen to the game, whatever it is that you're doing right now, getting ready for the game. I'm doing this, Bart, because you are a world class hater.
Yeah,
and you're Buck Nasty, and you love the minute I start talking Yankees, you're the first one that just comes with the bucket of water, you just dump it over my head. Every time I try to get excited about the Yankees, you're the first one to come in and you just dump water on it. So I feel like Yankees fans on a day like today should have the opportunity to come at you.
Please.
Come at Bart Scott.
Tell me why the sun is going to be brighter on the Yankees than the Mets.
800-919-3776. I just want the enthusiasm and the optimism of opening day. I just want to get a feel. I want the cross-section of it because I walked out of the Garden last night. And I was, you know, you're weaving through the crowd.
Was it mixed emotions?
No. There was one emotion. And I'm weaving through the crowd. I'm trying to get across the street to the postgame show off the radio call. And that's you know how that is, man. I felt like you just trying to, like, get through.
Yeah, man.
You know, like just get through a whole bunch of manhood people in one tight little area because all the construction there that's going on right now, it's not easy. It's like you feel like you're in the hamster maze. So, anyways. All the feelings were people yelling about how they just knew they were on the verge to clinch a playoff berth. You know, that they knew, like, all right, this was the big win. We needed this win. Everybody knew how important last night's game was, right? So you had that sense, that anticipated, that feel. So I want to get that feel now instead of walking out of the building. How are you feeling walking into the building? That's what I want to know. And Bart's going to try to knock you down a peg. He's going to try to be a wet blanket on your happy today. Don't let him. Go right back at him. That's what I think we need to have today. That type of enthusiasm that is unbridled, that is unwavering.
I want to know who you're watching. Who you watching today? If you're a Yankees fan, who you watching? Are you excited for Volpe?
Volpe. Yeah, I think Volpe.
Judge
because it's Judge, but you can't look at the first game and be like, oh, that's it. He's not hitting 62. Remember, he got off to a slow start. Remember, last year he got off to a slow start. It's not like he got off to a red-hot start. Last year he was kind of quiet for the first couple of games, and then he just went nuts in May. Yeah.
But it's an expectation now. Like, this is the thing. You showed us the greatest show that we've seen from a hitter since the McGuire and Sosa, Barry Bonds type of era. And now we expect to see you hit dingers all the damn time.
Expect? What do you expect out of Judge now?
I'm expecting 63, 64.
Man, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
You expect him to hit 63 or 64 this year?
At least over 50. I expect over 50.
Over 50?
Over 50. You set a new standard, and that's the thing. Remember, who were we talking to last year? They were like, oh, man, I think it's just the beginning. I think next year is going to be even better.
You remember, that was Mark McGuire.
Right.
Mark McGuire thinks he can do it again. Mark McGuire thinks he can get to 70. He doesn't think that this is like that, you know, the one year he'll have the big year and that's it. He thinks this will be a common thing for Judge. And, of course, what do we know about Aaron Judge is he's got to stay healthy.
Right.
Now, his projections are – to hit 41. That's just based on probabilities and all the other stuff.
Is that a win?
I think over 40 home runs in Major League Baseball is a great year. Over 40 is a great year. 62 is a record, Bart.
Victim of his own success.
Hang on a second. He had 39 last year. He had 52 when, of course, he was Rookie of the Year, right? When he was just unbelievable in 2017.
Right, so twice he's done 50.
Yeah. In 155 games, but then as we know, he wasn't available a lot over the next couple of seasons, then the COVID year, and then in 2021 he played 148 games and he had 39 home runs. which is essentially it's 40. Rounded up, it's 40, right?
Listen, you know what does he have now that he didn't have when he hit those home runs?
What do you mean?
He has a massive contract. So it's different because everything was a plus before because he was
cheap.
Do
you think that's fair?
It's not, but it's the reality.
Don't talk like the hater now. I want you to talk like the athlete. This is the athlete in you now talking. You understand pro athletes. Do you think it's fair that Judge is going to step up to the plate today at Yankee Stadium and there'll be expectations from fans who will say if he doesn't hit another 50 home runs, it's a bad year. He might get booed. Stop it.
Not today, but if he gets off to a slow start, you know how Yankee fans are. It's Johnny, what have you done for me lately?
If he doesn't get off to a hot start and they're losing games, he'll get booed. They're not going to boo him.
Because they're going to say, listen, the last time we saw him, he didn't show up for us in the postseason. Now he got the money. Now it's the expectations.
$360 million now in his pocket, and he's a Yankee for life. And he's the captain, by the way, of the Yankees, too. That's another big deal. They officially named him the captain of the Yankees, which is a lofty position. It is one of the premier things that you can have, one of the premier labels in sports you can have in New York, right?
He's one of the faces of baseball. He's not the face. Because I would argue that the face of baseball from now and in the future is going to be Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I can't argue it.
He's one of the faces, right? He's like the... He's the biggest name on the East Coast, and it just comes with wearing the pinstripes.
So let's out of the because I Ray and I put a bunch of these together, and I want to go through a bunch of them for the season as the season begins today. And again, 800-919-3776 for you to be part of the conversation, answer a lot of these questions. Let's start there then. Aaron Judge, you said 50. I'm going to put it at 40. Nah, does he get 40 or more, or is he under 40 this season?
Who the hell is he? Pete Alonso? Because I expect 40, at least 40 from Pete Alonso. So if Aaron Judge is supposed to be the better player, I need 50 from him.
But how do you even compare that? First of all, what Judge has that Pete Alonso doesn't is protection in the lineup. Anthony Rizzo's health will decide whether or not Aaron Judge has a big home run year or not. That's because we saw, what did we see? We started seeing teams pitching around him. We started seeing that. We knew that was coming. And Rizzo hitting with – that's what made that such an interesting part of the lineup, where Alonso was all or nothing. Pete Alonso had to carry that offense. And what did they do? I mean, Marte's healthy again. Okay, great. But Alonso was the power in that lineup. And, oh, by the way, he still is.
I expect them to get more power, later in the season. This is a team that's built around his pitching. And, now probably about their defense.
Alonso's projection is 32 home runs this season. Now, again, it's just projection. It's all based on probabilities and everything else. It's just analytics. But his projection is 32 home runs this year after hitting 40 last year and 37 the year before.
So they said it's a down year. That would be a down year.
This is a projection. It's not their saying. It's what the computer is spitting out, basically. That's all it is. It's just based on numbers and probability that his projection is 32. And I would say I would probably guess the over on that projection, right?
Right. I bet 40. What's Judge's projection again?
I told you it was 41.
Right. So I expect plus 9 from the projection. So I'm expecting 50.
You want 50. You're saying 50.
I want 40 for Pete, 50 for Judge.
So if Aaron Judge plays 150 games, which would be great, obviously. Well, I don't even want to do that because we do know his history suggests he's not going to play, right? Last year he did 157 games. The year he hit 52 home runs, his rookie year, he played 155 games. He played 148 games 2 years ago, and as I mentioned, 39. So if we say, can he just play 140 games, he should be in the range of 35 to 40 home runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not asking a lot. 140 games is, he's done it before. He has been healthy for 2 years now, and that's a good sign. And I do think it's about the availability. But it starts with the expectations. And is it fair coming off a year like that where he was just on fire and 62 home runs? And you could see by the end of it, he was exhausted, right? It just wore him down, wore him out, all those things. But he had a monster year, and he got paid for it. But is really that's what it becomes now? Bart, like it's just like saying when a player scores, you know, in the NBA, you just had a 60-point game. Well, now I expect 60 every night.
No.
You can't say that.
Did we expect Joel Embiid to be better or worse or average more than he did last year?
Well, he's having a career year.
Exactly. But last year he had a MVP caliber year, and the year before that. What I'm saying is the new standard is for Aaron Judge is I think the basement is 40. We expect him to be near the top, if not the top, home run hitter this year.
Basement is 40, I think, is fair.
If
the projection is 41, I would say the basement is 40 for him. This is what he should do.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I meant 50. I mean, that's just the reality of it, man. Like, this 50, guy's a
you,
this guy's
you understand
a,
that 50 home runs is not a common thing in baseball.
It is for the great ones like Barry Bonds, right?
What are you talking
about? When Barry Bonds was doing what he was doing, I know you can say whatever you want about the PEDs.
That's the first thing people are going to say.
He was walked more than anybody, and he still, right. When he made contact, it went out. And especially when you talk about, you know, the advantage that Judge has by playing in Yankee Stadium.
I understand. 50 home runs. You mean, like, so from now on, he should hit 50 home runs a year or it's a failure?
It should be. If it ain't 45 or more, it's a failure.
I don't know. Healthy, I think 40 is a better number.
I got 40 for Pete Alonso, man.
Like, you understand, like, you're suggesting that 50 a year was something that Barry Bonds did, and that's not even – in 2000, he hit 49. In 01, he hit 73.
I'm talking about
46, 45, 45.
I'm talking
so
about that.
40
about,
is the standard.
I'm talking about at the apex, yes.
That's his apex. I just gave you his apex. It was 49, 73, 46, 45, 45. That's a five-year run.
Right.
Of hitting over 40 home runs a year, which is it's insane.
Okay, Judge,
45. He was MVP four years in a row.
So Judge, 45 then. I'll take 5 off. I'll take 5 off.
So you're making that the standard. 45.
Yes, because he's at the part where for athletes the mind and body meets. Like early on, the body is ahead of the mind,
mm-hmm.
And then when you become a veteran, where he is, he's 30 years old. That's when the mind and the body meets. That's when you should be able to think the game, know how to prepare, know how to eat, know how to stay healthy, know how to, when you're in a slump, know how to be able to hit, get back on track. The slump should be limited. That's what I'm saying. So 45 should be the new standard for him for this next five-year run.
I think it's fair.
He's in that five-year run.
Okay.
And with all that money that he has, we expect that.
Okay.
We expect timely hits. We know he's going to get walked.
I'll take that. I'll take the 45 because – to me, if you're him, that's the standard you're trying to set for yourself. And to me, the weight's off. He's got the contract. He's captain. He's not going anywhere. He doesn't have to think about anything except now just his daily greatness. That's it. He just has to work. And what we know about Aaron Judge is that's who he is. We don't know him as a guy that now is just going to be all about being a celebrity. Like, we don't know him. We don't know him to be like that. We know him to be a guy that has kind of put his head down and gotten the work done. That's what he is. He doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't need to be seen. He doesn't need to be out and about. This is not who he is. He's not trying to be an athlete celebrity.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a great Yankee.
That would be Nestor Cortez.
Once again, with the
weird stash at the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Ain't it opening day tomorrow?
Yeah, Nestor was at the Knick game last night. He was. But like, for Judge, like, I don't have a problem with putting that kind of standard on him. Health is the only thing that will keep him from achieving greatness.
Can I ask you this? Because you know I'm a Mets fan, so I don't know.
Right.
Has Judge had his Yankee moment yet?
That comes in October. His Yankee moment was home run number six.
His Yankee moment was
home run number 62. That was a Yankee moment because it was a Yankee record. So, yes, he's had a Yankee moment, but we all know A-Rod had one, Tino had one. Like, the guys that needed to be established in Yankee lore needed to have a moment. A-Rod had an 09. You know, obviously, Tino with that huge home run. Like, everybody had that. Aaron Boone. I think Judge hasn't had that yet. He hasn't had Reggie Jackson 3 home runs. You know, he hasn't had that kind of thing. Jeter had a million plays, we all know, in clutch situations. The Yankee moment you're talking about, Bucky Dent, you're talking about the clutch moment that we'll talk about that game forever.
Right.
And
Altuve walk-off.
Yeah. No. No, Judge has not. He has not. And that's probably what has to come next now. And that's, of course, what brings me back to what I was saying a couple of days ago, is unfortunately, will we watch today knowing this is the first step of a marathon, so you don't overreact to anything. We do overreaction Monday on our show. We can't do it in baseball. It's impossible. We have to wait until October to do that, because these games, it's going to be every night, and you can't do each game in a vacuum. You do performances by pitching, because that's important to this team, as we know, and they're going to start off the season with a bunch of guys on the injured list, which is a major problem. But still, they'll get through that, and they'll figure it out, and in one day, you know, you'll get to see what the pitching staff looks like when, you know, when Rodon does come back. And some good news on him, at least, because he is feeling better. But when it comes to the whole season, I said this. I'm going to enjoy the games, but I cannot get hyped about any success, because October for this franchise, after now well over a decade, I mean, we're almost at 14 years now before getting to a World Series. And all that matters. I don't care if, you know what? They could win 92 games and sneak in the wild card. But if they win the World Series, awesome year. Great year. That's how I'm going to feel, unfortunately. But 115 wins and losing in a, you know, whether it's division series, whether it's the ALCS again, terrible season. Unfortunately, that's how I feel. It's painful, it's frustrating, it's annoying, but that's how I feel. And Bart, listen to Buster Olney, who's our good friend, friend of the show. He was just on with Greeny a few minutes ago. And what he was talking about is, of course, where we are. And you can relate to this, because he made a little bit of a historical reference to where the Yankees are right now as a team trying to get over that hump.
I'm taking the Mets, not only because they're a great team, and we know that during the season, if they have a hole, and it probably is going to be in the bullpen after the injury to Edwin Diaz, that they will go out and fill it. But I'm more concerned about the Yankees because of their pitching rotation. Look, I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to be back in the playoffs. But in the postseason, starting pitching is such a big deal. And having Carlos Rodon, Luis Severino out at the beginning of the year is a huge thing. And here's the other factor, too. The Houston Astros are a mental block for the Yankees. The Astros have eliminated them three of the last six seasons, and it just feels like the Chicago Bulls trying to overcome the Detroit Pistons in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a thing. And I think that's where the Yankees are right now with the Astros. I think the Astros are the better team, and Houston gets back to the World Series.
You as a Pistons guy, is that a good parallel?
Yeah, I mean, you think about the Pistons and the Bulls and being able to just – The Yankees have to learn how to win these tight games. They've had enough hurt, man. I mean, you talk about the Chapman thing, the buzzer, the non-buzzer. They had an opportunity to kind of right the wrong last year. Didn't work out for them. They have to find a way to get over the hump, man. They've had enough pain. This should be the year where
– You always talk about that pain.
Yeah.
You always talk about how you can't win until you felt pain. Well, I mean, as he said, three of the last 6 years, and we all know twice in the ALCS, like, it has been painful, these losses. And the core, you know, again, Judge has been on all of this. He's been front and center on all of this. He has seen it. Cole's seen it from both sides. But, you know, you got to feel like the mental block thing that he brought up, that might be a real thing too, that you got to get over and you got to slay the dragon. And that's why I feel like until that happens, I don't like, I'll enjoy the season because I love the Yankees. I'll enjoy baseball, especially now with the rules and everything else. But I just will never really feel comfortable until they get past this team. 800-919-3776. Ace in Brooklyn. Start us off, Ace. How are you feeling about this? I mean, I just feel like I'm going to enjoy the season, but I'll be anxious until they can finally overcome the Astros.
I'm right there with you, Han. Good afternoon, Han. Good afternoon, Bart. And I'm just one of those Yankees fans. I'm a realist. I don't want to hear nothing about the regular season. Like, we always have a great regular season, 90 wins, 100 wins. But until we get past the Houston Astros, I don't want to hear nothing. Nothing at all. And another point, I would like people to stop praising Mike Trout like he's the greatest baseball player of the last 20 years when – every time we've seen him in a pressure situation, he falls. I mean,
every
he's only
time.
Been in two.
We, We haven't seen him in any.
The one playoff and then the World Baseball Classic. Like, mm-hmm. this guy, he doesn't compare to even Shohei or Judge to me. Like, he can't get it done. And he shies away from the pressure to me. But that's just my opinion.
No, yeah, I hear you. I say it all the time. I thought he was a fraud. When I knew he wasn't about winning, it's when he decided to sign an extension with the Angels, knowing that they weren't going to win anything, when he knew the Phillies had a bag of money, but then also a bag of pressure if he came here and played for his hometown team. And when he ran from that, I knew, okay, he just want to collect the bag, and he doesn't want to be the face. He doesn't want to have to answer questions. He don't want to be held accountable. Because he hasn't, for as great as he is, what has he done as far as pulling the other guys up? He got two of the greatest baseball players in the game, and they can't play meaningful baseball in September and October. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you think about it too, where is he playing? He's playing somewhere that there just isn't going to be that kind of pressure. There's not that same media pressure. It's not like playing for the Dodgers, nothing like that at all. Obviously not like playing in any of the Northeast teams, where it's Philly or Boston or you're here in New York. You know, you're just not getting that same – maybe even in Chicago. You know, you're just not getting that same kind of intensity and then expectations. And then when you don't meet those expectations, criticism. You know, whatever criticism that they have out there in Anaheim with him, it's nothing compared to how it would be in places like this. And maybe that's what he wants, and he's happy with it. Jason in Pine Bush. Jason, what's up, man?
What's up, boys? You already know you're the best show in New York. Let's go. How you guys doing?
Let's go, baby. Thank you.
Listen, got a couple things. Alan, I don't usually disagree with you, but I'm definitely coming at Bart Scott. And Bart, you know I'm a lifelong diehard Jets fan. I also happen to be a lifelong diehard Yankee fan. A couple things.
Know.
Last year, let's keep it real. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said let him know. Go ahead.
I'm going to let him know. Listen, last year, let's stop talking about last year like it was normal. It was an outlier. We were down four starters last year. We were down four starters. Jonathan, trash year. IKF was not a big leader. Benintendi got hurt. Carpenter got hurt. LeMahieu got hurt. Hicks couldn't play. We were down four starter spots, still made it to the playoffs, and competed with the Astros. We got cracked by the Mariners. We didn't expect that to happen. But this year, in 2023, you know we're going to have big league players playing big league positions, and we got a full squad. Yo, Bart Scott, how would you like your playoff team in the 2011? You can't wait year with no Muhammad Wilkerson. Come on, baby. We didn't have our starters. That's the first thing. The second thing, Alan, I'm disagreeing with you on this one. Judge should be hitting 45 a year. And let me tell you why. Face of baseball, he's going to get those calls. Traditionally, the whole entire career, he gets those low strikes called. Now he's Aaron Judge. He's not going to be walking as much as Barry Bonds. 45 mm-hmm. should be the benchmark, like keeping it real. And the last thing I'm going to tell you about the Yankees, we got kids coming up, which means they can play these positions. They're not going to be scared. We got stars to help them transition. Or we trade these kids that we know everybody's looking at in our farm system and get some bullpen help. We mm-hmm. get some another starter help, and we get another big-time frontline player, baby. It's the Yankees, and Bart, come on, baby. When you're the king of New York, you ain't got to bow down to nobody. A lion don't mess it, flies in the jungle. The Mets team are good. I'll give you props. But we the Yankees, baby. You understand what I'm saying?
You can just I love that energy, Jason. I love that energy, Jason. Let him know, Jason. Let him know.
Jason, you do realize that team – That the can't wait team did play without Chris Jenkins and then did play without Damon Woody as well, right? You do realize that. Those aren't excuses.
But I'll tell you what when he was talking about it, and you brought up the thing about the what is the standard now for Aaron Judge home runs wise, and you made that your line of demarcation is 45. And at first, you know, I kind of hedged a little thinking 40 is more likely, but I'll take 45. But you know what I was just thinking of? If we get the what are they calling it? The robo-ump, right?
The automatic strike zone.
Yeah. If that does come into play next year, those low strikes that always got him low and away that he would argue about and mm-hmm. that Boone drove Boone crazy because they were clearly not in his strike zone, but because he's so big, a lot of umpires kept calling it.
Yeah, there's no way he should have the same strike zone as Altuve. Right? I get it.
But think about how much different that all of a sudden makes him as a hitter if you can't get away with that pitch anymore.
But the thing is, Houston, man, that's the thing. Like, it's Houston. It's like, it's not any of the other stuff. It's Houston.
Yeah, you got to get over that hump. You got to get over that hurdle. You got to get over that hurdle. That is, I think what Buster said about the mental block of the Astros is something that I think is going to hover over this season. And if they beat them in a series, it ain't going to matter. And yes, he was right. DJ LeMahieu was hurt. that was a major impact on them, that there were other, like you had guys that weren't 100%.
But
and
who's
they just,
it going to be this year? Every year, somebody.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
And that's the problem is you have to overcome
injuries.
Can
you withstand it?
And come July, can you make a good trade? Like the Harrison Bader trade was a right piece. You just didn't have enough of him because he was hurt the whole time. But when he suddenly showed up, you're like, yo, this guy can ball. Like, he's good. And now, of course, you got to wait to get him back as well because he's hurt again. But, you know, like those are moves that help you. But we all know all eyes are going to be on pitching as well for this team.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Yankees and the Giants at the ballpark in the Boogie Down. Opening day. We have 15 games for you today on the slate. The Mets later on today down in Miami against the Marlins. That's a 4-10. And their big $360 million payroll gets underway as well. But you know how this is a sport of numbers, right, Bart?
Yeah, man.
Like
no other.
But 57, do they really matter anymore? 57 wasn't your choice, if I'm not mistaken, right? As a number?
No, they gave it to me. Scrub salad.
You were handed 57. And yeah. You just, you know, that's my number and I'm going with it, right? Baseball is a jersey, like Volpe, by the way, he's going to take number 11, which he was wearing 77 in spring training.
That's
and some people
number.
Thought, is he going to keep 77? Because, you know, his family, they're all Mickey Mantle fans, and so two sevens. We all thought maybe 22, two twos. He loved Jeter. But he picked 11, which is because there's no more
Thomas. Okay, never mind.
Single digits left. It was Brett Gardner's number, too, by the way. I don't know if that matters to you.
Yeah, die hard. Yeah.
But there's a story in The Athletic that caught my attention. It kind of made me laugh because the concern with the Yankees is they're running out of jersey numbers to give out. Well, because
it's going to be like college. It's going to be like because they got so many damn numbers retired.
Well, they have 22 retired numbers. 15 of them are lower than 30. And none of the single digits are left, although now I guess zero is still available, I guess. But what gets me is the story talks about how the problem is because the coaches all have jersey numbers. and I always forgot that. But, I mean, obviously, you know, Joe Torre, number 6. Yeah. And it was Girardi famously wore – 26 and then 27 and 28 because of the championship, right? The 27th title, he wanted to get that. And then when that was accomplished, changes number 28. It was sort of like the goal. But you forget, like Aaron Boone wears 17, which was his number as a player. And you forget that.
So players can't get numbers because coaches got them, assistant coaches got them.
Like think about this. You got Carlos Mendoza as the bench coach. He wears number 64. The hitting coach, Dylan Lawson, wears 74. Casey Dykes, an assistant hitting coach. Two assistant hitting coaches, they get jersey numbers, 78 and 68. What? Matt Blake's the pitching coach. He's got 77, so he's taking that number.
Like are they calling like so they can have a proper number and throwing them out?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
We're ejecting number 64. Like, why do they need a number? Why won't they just
so bizarre.
One, why the hell they just ain't out there in a hoodie?
So they're talking about how they one day might have to issue a triple digit because there's not enough numbers left. And I'm laughing and I'm thinking to myself,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my heard about.
When was the last time you saw Buck Showalter wear a jersey? And would anybody really want to see that? Like he wears they wear
the hoodie.
The half zips and the hoodies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Booney's always, that's all he wears. He's wearing a lot of, most of the time, it's just a hoodie.
Why is it important for you
Dusty,
to have a number?
Like, is this a tradition that needs to stop? And why the hell? Like, there was a time where the manager wore a jersey because he played.
Can I ask you a number? Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything.
Are they selling these numbers? Who's the most famous manager that's known by
you're buying
number?
His jersey?
Yeah, did you buy their jersey?
Well, I mean, Joe Torre's number 6 was retired.
But
the Yankees retired a manager's number, and that's why number 6 is not available. A single digit's gone because their manager wore it, and they retired his number. We don't think about it when it happens. We're like, oh, yeah, we want to honor Joe Torre. But then you're like, wait a minute, why the hell are we retiring a number?
Nobody can ever wear 6 again. Like, what?
Right. He didn't even play. But like, I don't know. Like, to me, that stuff is funny. Like, I find this funny.
Every sport has their quirky things. And this
but as the sport is evolving, right, and changing, we got a pitch clock and things, can we get to a point where, like, you know what? It is kind of weird
they shouldn't have to wear them weird-ass
pants
either. Yeah, they shouldn't have to wear them weird pants.
There was something funny also about that, like just seeing like some of the old fat.
Yeah,
managers.
What is that? Man, I mean, God rest his soul. But when it was so, I'm sorry, it wasn't funny. Martinez, like, with the little like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Don Don Zimmer, man.
Don't make fun of that. But it was, there comes a time in a sport where you decide we don't need to issue a jersey number to a coach or a manager. It's unnecessary, right?
It is.
So, 800-919-3776. It's just a funny story, but it's just that's a baseball story if there ever was one when it comes to all this number stuff. All right, let's get back to the calls. We go to Steve in the truck. What's up, Steve?
Bar, what's up, man? Alan, what's up? How you
what's
guys
up?
Doing?
Good.
What'd it do?
Beautiful day, opening day. Always look forward to it all winter. I just wanted to, Alan, what you said about the if they don't get to the World Series, you're right. They could get 120 wins, man. It's going to be a disappointment. And I, you know, like last year even, I was even like with Judge, that season that Judge had,
yeah.
I still felt disappointed with how he performed and that
right?
He didn't help get us there.
I hate that feeling, Steve, because you want to feel like, you know, this was such – what a great journey that was with him to see the record, see him accomplish it and all those things. But then to have the season end the way it did, you're just like –
Steve,
not again?
Steve,
like, it's just so frustrating.
Right.
Steve, tell me this, Steve. Would you much rather have had Judge have the season that he had or have the season that Bryce Harper had as far as getting hot in the postseason?
I would have, you know, honestly, I would have rather have seen him play like Bryce Harper. I think if he played that way, I think they would have brought us to the next level.
I
think they would have. You know, and it's unfortunate because it was such a good season. I would have loved to see him perform like that in the postseason.
And, Steve, you know what? When fans and other people get mad at us for having that take, what Steve just gave us is an honest take from a fan. It's not a fan that's, you know, spoiled, entitled. I hate when they do that with us, with Yankee fans. Oh, you guys are so spoiled. No, it's a standard. It's a standard that we're used to or were used to. That we haven't seen in a while. And unfortunately, there's just a higher demand. It's as simple as that. And I'm sorry, I'm not lowering the standard because, well, it's been 10 years. We should probably just give up on hoping to win a World Series. Hell with that. This franchise has known nothing but winning. And so that's the expectation. So when it doesn't happen, it starts to get a little frustrating. And there's nothing wrong with that. Paul and Yonkers. Paul.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you very much, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Okay, happy day. I'm 67 years old, and I'm old enough to remember the bad old days, actually both sessions of the bad old days. The Yankees going from first place in the World Series in 1964
mm-hmm.
to last place 2 years later, dead last, number 10 in the old American League setup. You were talking about Yankee moments. My Yankee moment was watching Chris Chambliss.
Yeah.
Park one into the top level to beat the KC Royals to make the first World Series appearance since 1964.
Right.
Now, I know that they lost in 4 straight to the Reds that year.
But they got there.
That's my Yankee moment.
Yeah, that's, again, Chris Chambliss, obviously 1976, and that's, again, that's a famous Yankee moment, of course. But it didn't have to lead to the World Series. It was just a great moment that got you to the World Series. And oh, by the way, when a team gets to the World Series, Bart, as you know, you still won a championship, the American League championship. Is it the top tier? No, but you put a banner up for that. So that's a championship. It means something. And so, yeah, that's a moment. And that's, again, we're waiting for, let's see if Aaron Judge can have that now on his resume, on his great resume so far with the Yankees, because that is the one thing that is needed. Eli in Washingtonville.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Listen, I'm hoping that Volpe does take that number 11, because then, you know, at least now we know that Brett Gardner's not coming back to the field.
Come on, man.
but listen, man, I agree with you. The thing that, look, the Brian Cashman era, the word that comes to mind is adequate. Because the Yankees are adequate every season. Good enough to make the playoffs. Good enough to make, but not good enough to take that next step and beat the Astros. Last year, everybody was in the beginning of the season, oh, this is the greatest Yankee team since 2009. And giving up, crowning them at the beginning of the season. What happened? The second half, that team is a disaster.
Well, because they all got hurt. You know, Eli, everybody got hurt. And that's when a front office like Brian Cashman can just shrug and talk about how that's nothing you can control. But, you know, and they have hired and fired different medical people and training staff. They have gone through that whole thing. But it does feel like that's the other part that comes up, is the injury thing that seems to affect this team more than it does anyone else that's among the top teams in baseball throughout the regular season. That's the frustrating part, Eli. It's that and adjustments at the trade deadline that don't seem to come to fruition. I mean, that's the part to me, Bart, that gets the most frustrating.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be frustrated. It's opening day. This is a day of optimism. This is a day of feeling good. This
okay,
day
so
of hope.
Somebody, we got a good call. Let's get a good call. Let's get some happy glass half full. This
We're
is
looking
the
for
year.
The optimism today.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Introducing every single member of the organization on opening day might be the most painful, like for a sport that's trying to speed itself up, you know, and it's like, you know, the bullpen catcher, Joe Schmo. Like, do we need that?
Landed on thick. It reminds me of award day. Or graduation day at school, and I hated that my name was Scott, so that means my kids will be there longer than ever.
I never
came on time.
you didn't have to.
Hell no. I'll be there. Hey, listen, what time it start? 9 o'clock. I'll see you at 10.
Exactly.
They'll just be on the M's.
Let me give you a hoops update brought to you by new Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola is here, born for what's next, born for a bolder taste. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola, born for this. Enjoy responsibly. So both the Knicks and the Nets get the job done last night. The Nets had to come back, Bard, to win that game over a bad Rockets team that was in a back-to-back. But they did what they had to do.
They're so young, they play hard.
And yeah, they don't know any better, right? But they get the win. Now, this is important when you look at the standings now, because the Heat have lost three in a row after losing to the Knicks last night. So it even helped the Nets. So the Nets now have a hold on that sixth seed, and they have a game-and-a-half lead over the Heat. That's important. And the Knicks, pretty much, I mean, this is virtually clinching what would be a top six playoff berth. We don't know if it'd be five or six yet. But still, I mean, you've got a two game and a loss column lead over the Nets, and your tiebreaker is division record. That won't be settled if they do end up in a tie. Wouldn't be settled to the end of the year, because it's a division record that the Nets play the Sixers in the very last game of the season. Will the Sixers need that game? Will it matter? Something certainly to watch. But the Knicks control their own destiny, and they did that last night with the win. We'll get more into what we saw last night, the Randle injury and everything else, in the 1 o'clock hour. But right now we got a lot of calls.
It's too juicy, baby.
No, there's a lot there, but we got some calls.
I think they just introduced the waste management engineer at the Yankees game.
And from our cafeteria, our chef. Just everybody.
Our nutritionist.
So we got a lot of calls. Bart, I'm going to let you dealer's choice. You see anything you'd like?
Yeah, let's go to Lou.
Lou in Nashville?
Lou in Nashville. We call it Cashville, where I'm from.
Lou, what's happening?
Hey, what's up? I'm originally from the Bronx. I listen to your show all the time.
Thank you.
Love it. And
I have to tell you, Judge could have hit 20 homers last year and came through in the playoffs, and I would have loved that.
Yeah.
I can't stand being overhyped and under-delivering.
Yeah.
I can't stand. I would rather win every other year than be the favorite every year and come short. You know, I couldn't stand those Brave teams. Staff in baseball for years.
Yep.
And did nothing.
One championship.
With it.
Right. One championship. Ran into the Yankees twice and lost.
So Lou, the optimism for you, like when at the beginning of the season, like, can you even enjoy? Because we often talk about on this show, and if you're an avid listener, then you've heard us say this before. But do you even enjoy or pay attention to the accolades and the record of the Yankees? You know, in March, April, May, June, July. Like, do you even care about that, or is it seen it all, heard it all before? Wake me up when we beat the Astros or somebody. Or do you think that the Yankees are at the point where they need somebody else to beat the Astros for them?
No.
No. Heck no.
No.
If they can't beat the Astros, they should live with their mess, you know?
Yes. Slay the dragon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep up with stuff throughout the year, but obviously, like most people, I get more focused as the year goes on, and just being more attentive toward the end of the season.
Lou, I'll tell you what, you and I are the same when it comes to that. Is that it's like I get more focused as the year goes on because I want to see. It's not that I'm not into it or not a fan. It's more of that. Like, I just remember our conversation. You kept getting mad at me. Enjoy this. They're great. Enjoy it. Why can't you enjoy it? I'm like, because I know what's coming in October. I know what's coming. And it just, I don't know. It's something wrong with me. There's definitely something wrong with me. Sal in Brooklyn. Sal, give me some optimism. Sal, how we feeling?
What up, boys? Everything is good. How you guys doing?
All right.
Here's your optimism, my man. Last year when the Yankees went out in the playoffs, and, of course, game one, 17 strikeouts, we can live that all day long, and we know what happened with them.
No, thank you.
You did lose Benintendi, and you did lose DJ. So you lost two contact bats in that lineup that could have helped and take some pressure off of Judge, because every time he came up, everybody wanted this guy to do everything, like Bugs Bunny. Pitch, catch, first base, second base, third base. So everything was on Judge unfairly. And now they're taking shots at him. He's not a playoff guy. Meanwhile, the year before, he carried them up to Boston, and then we laid the egg. So it's not about Judge not performing. It's about getting others to perform a little bit where he's not carrying all the weight. This year, though, if DJ gets hurt, we know we got Peraza. And now a guy like IKF becomes a third option. So you're a little deeper on that backup. If you lose something in the outfield, after Dominguez is going to get a half a season down in the minors and Spencer Jones, you're not going to be looking to find where we can get somebody on a backup that's going to make contact to keep the team moving. It's going to be in-house. So my optimism is let this team play, let it grow, and when October comes around and this team is rolling, then you're going to say it was worth the ride. Don't just sit there and say, come October, we got the same thing. You got to enjoy the ride, baby. And then when it comes to the end, you take that seatbelt off on that roller coaster, and everybody's coming off with smiles. So
and
enjoy
you hope
the year,
so.
My brother. That's what I'm telling you.
Sal, I appreciate you, man. What you hope is you don't get off the ride and throw up. Because sometimes that's what it feels like when you get off those rides, is you get off and you just
it's just because they haven't been able to close the deal, right? If this would have been like three seasons where they got there, because remember, the Dodgers was in the same place. They were spending all this money and coming up short.
Yep.
But they finally closed the deal.
Bubble.
And it's like, okay, we're waiting for the Yankees to finally close the deal. Like I said, we've been talking about the Baby Bombers, and now they got AARP cards.
Yeah.
Right? And the rest of them have been sent on to old elders' homes, right? You know what I mean? It's like they're like Kentucky Derby type, you know, stallions that go back to the pastures when they retire. So we're waiting for them to seal the deal.
We need
like
cocoon.
Just one. Just give us one, and we can stop everything.
How many times have I said that, right? How many times have I said that? All right. All right,
we
so
got
we'll leave
OTB in the building. Too,
I know
just walked in.
That's how we
got
to get reset here. 800-919-3776. So we'll keep the calls rolling. So keep them coming with us as the Yankees will open their season in just a few minutes at Yankee Stadium. So that conversation continues. But we also are on Aaron Rodgers' watch and let's see how much closer we can get. And as we've been hearing about
like
things.
Is Aaron Rodgers' watch like being in a deer stand? You just sitting there, you lucky waiting. To see one possum walk by. Like, oh, just there's something. A deer. Oh, that's not a deer.
Just something.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.